Luke Hodge has been good enough to join us. By the way, if you're at the game on the weekend, drop in and visit the Lions Club Hub, set just outside Gate 5 at Marvel Stadium. The Lions would love to see you down there. And Luke Hodge from the Brisbane Lions joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Luke. Great to have you on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, there was an article in the Age today. I don't know if you read it, with the accusations that there was people yelling abuse at you, which didn't really sound that nice when you look at it in print. Did you hear that stuff? Have you read the article?
No, I haven't. What game was that? That's quite often.
Well, there was accusations in the article that people were yelling out, "You're an old man, you're no good, you're a waste of space, just kill yourself."
I think most games, any time you play deep in forward or attack, I think you're close to the opposition supporters. And look, most of them have a fair bit of a go at you, but I haven't heard anything to especially the last comment, but the first two or three were pretty correct.
You've heard the old bit before?
I heard the old, heard the slow, and that normally comes from fakes. But as far as the other abuse from it, as I said, I understand footy's an emotional, passionate game. I enjoy when I go down there and our supporters get behind me or get into my opponent, and I understand that. When they do it to me, as long as the wording's correct and they're having a bit of fun with it, as long as they don't cross any lines that you shouldn't.
I think it was Nathan Brown who said today that one of the negatives of the 6-6-6 is that because two people have to be in the goal square, you're down there for 30 seconds and it's a free for all if you're at the wrong end.
Yeah, especially if things aren't going that well or your opponents just kick the goal. But I've found in the past, as soon as you turn around and have a bit of a smirk to them, they either go a little bit harder at you or they sit back and have a bit of a laugh.
So this is the big issue, Luke, because it's all about whose ear the abuse falls on. Most people interpret it in a bit of good humour, and I think 99% of it is delivered in good humour. Is that how you interpret it, or am I being too simplistic on this?
No, as I said, I know how passionate football supporters can be. So as I said, as long as what they're saying doesn't go over the line, then I'm okay with it, because that's ultimately what makes your game so good. Is you get people there, you get them supporting their teams, and to be honest, a lot of the things that they say is quite funny.
Yeah.
As I said, you take it in the right way if they're sort of giving it in the right manner. Sometimes you turn around and someone will just say something and smirk at you, and you sort of move on. But I think people know when they as long as the swearing's cut down, especially if there's kids and people around.
Yep.
And also what. Everyone knows where the limits are, so I reckon all the other stuff you sort of take as cheek.
One final one on this. I reckon there's iconic footage of that Collingwood supporter absolutely giving Dom Sheed plentiful advice. I mean, it must have been disparaging to some degree. He's about to take a premiership off him,
yeah.
But when he nails it, he turned around and all he did was clap.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me was an iconic bit of vision.
And I think footballers know, Luke, but how does your wife and your kids, how do they go understanding what is a bit too nasty to dad and understanding what you're okay with?
Yeah, I guess the one where my son, a little while ago, because obviously you have a few incidents. When you play for a long time, that obviously you ruffle a few teams the wrong way occasionally. You get the ball and the whole crowd boos. I remember Cooper sort of saying, "Oh, what are they doing that for?" And I was just, "Oh, mate, they're just having a bit of fun." My wife understands that it's a passionate game. She's been coming to the footy for 15, 16 years now. So, but to explain it to the son was just trying to make sure that he didn't get too fazed by it.
And fair to say you've ruffled most other clubs' feathers, Luke. How does your son cope with the fact...
That's why I had to explain it to him. Yeah. It happened most weeks that I played.
How does your son cope with your inability to beat Dane Zorko at golf?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I actually reckon Zorks might be talking that up.
Cause okay.
I do know the jacket that we have. My name is firmly on that jacket as a winner, where he's been a four-time runner-up. So I reckon he chokes a little bit under pressure.
Ah, might use that in the commentary coming up this weekend. if I can quote you. Your personality during this interview kind of echoes the personality we're seeing from the Lions in general this year.
I guess the main thing that when I first got up here was Fags is, hey, we're here to develop, we're here to have fun. He reckons he's never been around a team that if they're not enjoying their footy, they're not playing good football. And at times you're going to go through games and parts of the season where you're frustrated, but as long as at the end of the day you come back, you review the games and you leave on the Monday with a smile on your face and ready to attack the next week. And I think that's what's helped this group. We've got a lot of emerging younger guys, but they realise that you can have quiet quarters, have quiet halves, and if you do have a quiet game, there's always next week. And we always try and make sure training and when we're around each other that we have as much fun as we can.
You've seen this firsthand when you started to emerge as a power with the Hawks. How did you address last week's or 2 weeks ago what really was a bit of a shocker, giving up a lead to go down to the Blues?
I think you described it well. It was a shocker. And a credit to the Blues. They came out, they moved the ball a lot quicker. Cripps was unbelievable in that game. And they were just a step above where we were. I think our first quarter and a half was really good. But I think, as I said, that's the stages where we've got to look back at the tape and say, a good team, teams will get run-ons at times, but as long as you can slow them down and win back momentum, and until we can do that consistently, that's where we're trying to get to. So we sort of look back and looked at things that we didn't do so well and things that we'll try and improve for this week coming up. But once again, you can't dwell on it too much. You got to fix it, try and identify it, and then move on and put your forward your head to the next week.
Ben Stratton's a good friend of yours. One for pinching, one for the stomp tonight. Did it surprise you what went on the weekend?
I know that Strato, I guess most back pockets will or defenders will, especially got a shutdown rival, will try and do what they can to get under the skin of their opponent. And I think Strato did the right thing as far as after the game. He came and apologised and said that he went too far, it shouldn't have been done. He said he's never going to do it again. And I think as a player, as soon as you realise that, that happens in games, as soon as you realise it's gone too far, put your hand up, admit that you did the wrong thing and just say that, and as you said, he's not gonna do it again. But I knew the stomping would definitely get a week. That wasn't a great look. The pinch, I wasn't sure how it was going to go, whether they were going to give it a big fine and a warning or come down on the week for all of them, and it looks like they've done that.
Do you think they should lift the ability to fine more than $5,000 and let players play for relatively minor indiscretions rather than send them out for weeks? Because I think a lot of your guys have got a lot of you guys do have the capacity to pay a fine of more than $5,000. If I gave you the choice of a $10,000 fine or playing a game, I reckon you'd probably choose the $10,000 fine and playing in the game.
Yeah, I reckon also on the game day, if I know the goal umpire was sitting right there, is it to the stage where if a defender's doing that in the goal square and no umpire can see it, that the umpire says, the goal umpire says to the umpire, I've seen him do this, he's pinched him, it's a free kick. I know you don't want umpires overruling everything, but if you see the mark on his arm and he was doing it consistently, he went to the umpire, and the umpire can only really pay a free kick if he sees it then and there. He can't call it if it happened 3 minutes ago or because there's a mark on his arm. But do you give the responsibility to the goal umpire and say, if he's doing it right then and there where there's no umpire, that he has the ability to tell him? And that might stop the player doing it the first time, and then we don't have this issue moving forward.
Might open the lines on that, 13-13-32, if you think that's a good idea, because just hearing it then out loud sounded pretty good.
Where are you on the goal review, Luke, given that we're three stinkers, but as soon as we drop it, we're going to highlight those that they get wrong?
Yeah, I don't know. There was a couple that happened right, I think it was either a week in a row or a game or two games in a row where I think it was the Freeman one that got touched. Was it Mundy or Walters that did a snap and got touched? And then there was another one. I think if they've got the ability to look at all camera angles off the boot, and also with that as well, I think it was Steele Sidewater in the goal square, who he realised that he didn't touch it over the line, but he's pointed up to where it was. They should have it to a player's ability to say, it wasn't touched here, it was touched back there. If it's proven that the player's lying, fine him $5,000 for lying. Then they'll tell the truth. If it shows it's inconclusive, then let him get away with it. But that's where he's got to have the ability to say to an umpire, look, we touched up there, can you have a look at it up there? And if the player's blatantly lying, fine him. I'm tipping the players are players are going to stop doing that if they're going to get $5,000 for lying.
I think we better tick a few of these things off.
You
the
might
players
have to get
association
on the,
because the revenue raising is magnificent here.
Well, by the time you're done,
I was just more thinking of players will always call for a touch.
Yep.
If you go to an umpire and say stop the game, call this one, but if you want to get it right, players will stop doing it, and then we'll get the right decision if they got the other 10 angles that their TV have. then they're going to zoom in on, you know, this is the one that we want looked at.
I like it because right now we've got three choices. This would be good. You've got goal, you've got behind, you've got umpire's call, and you've got $5,000
yeah,
fine.
Player's call. And I think, yeah, we can get you running. Well, Gil, what, he's got 5-6 years left in the job. We can get you to take over that job when you're ready, Luke. You'll be maybe just finished playing by then. Hey, if Hawthorn can't make the eight with two rounds left, do you reckon they should give Ruffy a send-off game?
Well, look, I don't like commenting on other teams, but I'd love to see Big Ruff. Hopefully he's kicking enough goals the next few weeks to get a game, but I'd love to see Ruff run around in the Hawthorn top one last time.
Is he an exception to every other rule because he's been so great and his story is so big?
I think for what a player does for their footy club, and this is any player, I'm not talking about Ruff, I think if any player, if they've done they've done a lot over a number of years, for the footy club, I think to the supporters a little bit if they can't make the finals to let them go around one last time. That's just my personal opinion.
And no doubt that will happen. But he's in the same position as you. If the Suns offered him a contract, a playing contract, do you think he should take it?
Oh, if he believes he can go around for another year, I guess it's up to him. That's the hardest thing. I think it's a bit easier as an older person sitting across the half back line, because as a forward, yep, you need to be taking pack marks, you need to be kicking goals, you need to be agile. As soon as your agility or speed goes a little bit, all the defenders got to do is spawn away from it. It's the same as a midfield. As soon as your speed, agility, or spread from a stoppage goes, people start going a bit harder at you. Whereas a defender, you can sort of cut angles, you roll around in a six man defence, a lot of blokes do. So you can probably hide that a little bit better than what you can in the middle and forward line.
And you're staying in Brisbane next year, obviously, and in a new role, obviously.
I'm enjoying it up here, and I don't think my wife would let us move back to Melbourne. We got a house and loving the lifestyle up here, and the kids are enjoying school. So we'll call home up here for a little while.
Player retention and coach retention, Jared. It's pretty important. Luke, great to have you on the program. We enjoy having a chat to you from time to time, so thanks for giving us some time.
Excellent. Thanks, guys.
Luke Hodge, Brisbane Lions superstar.